go to securefreedomradio.org today. It's your freedom. It's your country. Frank Gaffney's Secure Freedom Radio.
We're back. We're joined, I'm very pleased to say, by Thomas Popick. He is a man I've come to know and admire greatly for his expertise about the resiliency, or lack of it, of our electric grid. He is the chairman of the Foundation for Resilient Societies. He is an MIT-trained engineer and just an incredibly knowledgeable and informed resource on matters involving the security or insecurity of the most critical of our critical infrastructures. He's always welcome here at Secure Freedom Radio. Tom, good to have you.
Thank you, Frank. Glad to be here.
There was something that came across the wire from the Wall Street Journal yesterday that you have actually been warning about for some time. I have the feeling it is going to catch an awful lot of people, including those most immediately affected, by surprise, and presumably will intensify concerns about the status of our grid. Talk about what seems to be in the offing now for California.
Sure, Frank. The most immediate concern is potential rolling blackouts in Southern California this Monday and Tuesday. One of the reasons for these possible rolling blackouts will be a heat wave, which will be putting a lot of load on the electric grid due to air conditioning. But there's another backstory to this. It's a natural gas storage facility called Aliso Canyon. Aliso Canyon sprung a leak and spewed enormous quantities of natural gas into the atmosphere earlier this year. As a result, the capacity of that reservoir is down to about 20% of normal. It turns out that a storage facility for natural gas is needed during peak electric grid periods because it takes about twice as much gas to run the electric grid as can be pumped in each day. And so that's the reason for immediate concern in California.
What you've just said, Tom, is going to be staggering, I'm sure, to people who might be affected. Is there any indication at the moment as to how widespread these rolling blackouts will be or for how long?
There's been some media articles. There was an article in the LA Times that spoke about a number of counties in Southern California, basically Los Angeles south to San Diego. So that's a pretty big stretch of Southern California. Now, of course, I should say that there's various mitigation measures that the utilities are trying to execute, which may actually prevent the blackouts, but it is a major concern. As a matter of fact, the California grid operator has predicted up to 14 days of rolling blackouts this summer due to that situation.
Our guest is Thomas Popick of the Foundation for Resilient Societies and someone who is tracking these sorts of challenges, not just in California, but across the country and warning of them with great authority. Give us the bigger picture in California at the moment.
Sure. The bigger picture is people in California don't want electric power plants in their backyard that spew all sorts of noxious fumes or carbon dioxide and that kind of thing. So their solution has been to have people in neighboring states have the electric power plants in their backyard and then to import the electricity over very long-distance transmission lines. So as a matter of fact, about a third of California's power is actually imported over the state line from adjacent areas. Another issue for California, and we spoke to this in regards to Aliso Canyon, is that they have natural gas generation plants, but most of that natural gas is imported as well. So in rough numbers, about 30% of the power for California is imported from other states, and in rough numbers, about 40% of the power for California is generated using imported natural gas, which means that California is almost entirely dependent on other states for its energy for electricity. And then when there's some kind of a disruption in these long supply lines, it causes a situation where there could be rolling blackouts. Now, on most days, there's not blackouts. And, of course, I think the people in California, foremost in their mind is how they don't want pollution or other effects. But really, we need to start thinking about electric grid reliability, not just on normal days, but on days where we could actually not have electricity.
And Tom, as you've pointed out, and I've learned so much about all of this from you, really, the challenge is not simply reliability. It is resiliency. It is making sure that if bad things happen, either at the hands of enemies of this country or even through naturally occurring events, there may be not just rolling blackouts, but very protracted and widespread disruptions of the power supply, which can have just catastrophic effects. In this regard, Tom, talk about this incident that took place at the Metcalf substation outside of San Jose, California, back in April of 2013. And what it suggests may be in store, not just for California, but for others of us as well.
Well, certainly, Frank. I think this is another case of this not-in-my-backyard phenomena for California. The short story many people in the public know is that there was a terrorist attack on the Metcalf substation just outside of San Jose, and this substation supplies much of Silicon Valley and San Francisco. The terrorists that attacked that substation did it with an AK-47 rifle. It appears that they were interrupted mid-attack, and had they shot only one more transformer out, there would have been a blackout. But the backstory here is that people in California don't like transmission lines, apparently, and so more and more transmission lines were routed through this single substation, and of course that concentrated the risk and provided the opportunity for the attackers. So again, we really need to start thinking about not just not wanting big electric grid power plants or substations in our backyard, but what the overall effect on the society is going to be if we end up having catastrophic blackouts because of that.
Tom Popick, as you look at this situation, and particularly the possibility that even if no one engages in the kind of physical sabotage that you've just described at the Metcalf substation, or cyber warfare against our electric utilities, which we know has been happening, or perhaps the most devastating of all of these threats, the possible use of electromagnetic pulse against our grid. There is this problem of the periodic intense solar storm, the so-called Carrington event, for which I'm told we are overdue, perhaps taking down the grid. Are there practical things that people listening to this program could be urging on their, well, their federal representatives and others on down the food chain as well, that might mitigate this problem, not just of the imminent rolling blackout, but the perhaps quite permanent one?
Whenever there's an improvement for electric grid reliability, we have to consider the costs. Let's talk about solar storm protection. The cost to protect against solar storms would be less than $1 per year per American. There's very inexpensive devices that can be put on transformers to mitigate the effects of solar storms. But let's look at the risk. During our children's lifetimes, the chance that there will be a catastrophic solar storm which will bring down the U.S. electric grid is over 50%. So again, it makes good financial sense to have this kind of protection, and I do urge the people listening to this call to contact their senators and congressmen and urge that there be this kind of protection required. Well, you can learn much more about resilient societies at www.resilientsocieties.org.
Tom Popick, the chairman of the Foundation for Resilient Societies, thank you for your service to our country in so many ways, my friend, including visiting with us from time to time. Come back soon. I hope the rest of you will do the same again tomorrow at same time, same station. Until then, this is Frank Gaffney. Thanks for listening.
From the nation's capital, you've been listening to Secure Freedom Radio with Frank Gaffney.